I wish this weather would, I think, I asked somebody, I asked your mother if she would order this weather for the rest of the year. Yesterday, somebody asked me to talk about the difference between mind and brain. In Corinthians, it says, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Well, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 2. Start in verse 9. All right, let's go up. We'll go up a little farther. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now again, the word princes just means anybody that's in any kind of, anybody that, it doesn't mean like a real prince. It just means like a boss or a leader or anything. Even like a city council person or something. For none of the princes of this world knew. And it doesn't say of that world. It's in the perfect tense, which means it's the princes of this world. It's not the princes of that world or of that time. It's the princes of all time. For none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And, you know, it's a quote from Isaiah, for them that wait on him. And the reason this is so important, continuing what we talked about yesterday, is because you can never know, as a believer, what the next nanosecond will look like. And you can never have an image of what it will look like. And again, it's so critical because everything about you is hardwired to want to know what's going to happen next. And the reason is, I think, at the core, is that you want to be able to be in control. So you want to be able to have an influence of your circumstances. And that's the opposite of faith. Remember, Jesus said this incredible thing. He said, many have come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things, done these things in your name. We've cast out demons even. We've healed people. We've gone to Bible study. And he shall say, depart from you, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And that's a quote from the Psalms. And the word iniquity in Hebrew is avon. Avon calling. And it means self-seeking. Self-betterment. Self-realization. That's why Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, if you seek to better your life, if you seek to self-realize you, then you will lose everything. And it's so hard to see this at its core. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for him that wait on him. And notice, that is in connection with, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory if the princes of this world had known the mystery. The mystery that's hid from all generations and all times. Do you see what we're dealing with? If you,
I'm kind of amazed at just listening right now that many of these words I've heard time and time again. But the until God chooses to open your ears to understand, you just hear the words. They don't have any impact.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth the things, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, we're going to see something that there's some several words that are translated, because the idea of modern idea of mind and all of these things, I mean, that wasn't extant. And so they didn't have a different word for mind and a different word for brain and a different word. I mean, it was the heart, and it was a soul, a suchi. I mean, it was all these things, but they're not precise because they didn't have the distinction that we did. It was generally accepted that the heart, or the somewhere in the inner word place of man, was the seat of the truth. Everybody knew that the outward manifestation was crap. And that's why let me go on. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man? Or that doesn't mean that the man has the Holy Spirit or man has a spirit. It's a word that means, that which is endemic to the man. His only way, it's like the spirit of the age or the spirit of this. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? In other words, a horse can't know the spirit of a man because a horse doesn't have the spirit of man. Man can't know the spirit of God because man doesn't have the spirit of God. That's the context here. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That freely given is critical. It was no effort, nothing. The only way that you can know that you have them is by repentance. Otherwise, that steel trap door is shut. The minute, the nanosecond that you try to appropriate something of God and bring it into your life, boom, the trap door closes. And the analogy in the spirit, there's a great gulf that you cannot cross, because the only way you know what this is by your death. Death of self. Death of self-realization. Death of self-betterment. Death of self-anything. What? Which things we also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We don't remember yesterday I talked to you, our whole life has been made up of comparison. We compare ourselves with each other and can then compare ourselves with ourselves, and we determine whether what we've done is right or wrong or indifferent. And that whole idea that if you are doing this comparison, you're not wise. You haven't received the wisdom of God because you're still trying to define your own identity, your own destiny, your own purpose. What am I doing here? And all the other crap. That sounds so sincere. I'm just trying to figure out what I'm doing here. Nothing. You're a usurper on the land. You're an instead of Christ. Well, how can I use this? You can't.
It's like watching an Easter egg hunt. Everybody's really excited about it, but you know there's really no Easter eggs there at all.
that's a pretty good way. That's a weightism. We need to write that one down. We speak the things which man's, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, remember, Jesus, these are the red words, Ronnie. In Luke, Jesus said, you are they that justify yourselves. Are you or they that compare yourselves? You are they that justify yourselves among men. But God knoweth your heart or your mind. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. There is no exception to that. Anything that you want, any state of being that you want, that is highly esteemed among men, is an abomination unto God. Any activity that you desire that is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. Why? Why is it abomination? Because it hinders or retards the mystery of His completeness. That's why, again, I haven't picked on Gary for a while. Again, for Gary to say that his thoughts were sweet is an abomination. It may be an honest abomination. Boy, talk about timing.
I think he's got a button.
He has a button. I think he does that on purpose. He's got a little thing.
Yeah, right.
Change the subject. Yeah. Disrupt the flow.
Anybody have any response to this? That's fine.
Whenever you make a statement like everything or nothing, or my mind always goes, okay, well, let me go through the list.
There's got to be
an exception. Throwing down a gauntlet.
That's fine. That's fine.
Men esteem joy, but they want joy on their terms. I want joy because of what I've done. I don't want joy because it's random and it's...
Any joy that you have experienced that's based on that commonality of men is fleeting. It's only like people see, they see ghosts out of the corner of their eyes when you're not looking. They're over here, but since I'm blind in that area, I can't see any ghosts. But, I mean, it's a fleeting moment. It's like there's a fleeting moment of peace or a fleeting second of understanding, and then it goes. Gone. Boom. Well, those are just the gift of God to let you know that there's a state of being that is constant. That's why it's so frustrating for me to hear you say, well, I forgot. And God's response is, well, how can a nursing mother forget her child? Yeah, she can, but you can't. But that's he can't, because they're one. We are one. So it's a whole. Ronnie was talking about, you know, he was very depressed. Something was going on in his family. The depression. I mean, if you can't, we can't even think about, we can't even conceive of the possibility that you would repent from being depressed. You can't even think about the possibility that you would repent from being happy because something went the right way. But that's what God demands, that you leave all of you behind. Because the mind is reprobate. It's incapable of repentance. That's why the only thing that the mind can see is the futility. That's why John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. If you're bringing forth fruit to enhance you or me, then we're not bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance, because we've denied the mystery of God. It isn't complicated, it's very simple.
I find one of the things my mind does is compare. You see, now if I abandon myself, will I be better than what I have now? Usually, the unknown.
But it is
God.
It is what's called in the Bible no faith. And so you can't. That's why the reason I talked about comparison. We cannot know in God what the next anything is about. It's not for us to know. It's not for us to have even an idea of what it's about. Even wanting to have an idea is to be repented of. Even wanting to know what's going to happen is to be repented of. Even wanting to know sincerely more about this mystery of God, it must be repented of. Until you are apprehended by that which has apprehended you. You cannot gain that, you cannot get there from here except by your death, because whatever thing is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. The best you can do, the best that the mind can do, the human being can do, is to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. So it can be me and Jesus. And then you'll create a religion based on you and Jesus. But I said before, and I'll say till hell freezes over, if you were in Iran, you'd be a good Muslim, because you'd go through a bunch of stuff and then finally you say, well, I'll accept Allah. Or you'd be a good communist, or you'd be whatever the ambient thing is. Then the test of that, you're justified by believing in him, but then you're saved by his life, by the faith of him. And that process, it's not negotiable. If you're still believing in him, then you're yet carnal of the flesh. And flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And your mind, which you have to see, your mind is of the flesh. Because your mind, this article John sent me yesterday about pain, but they've created a machine called a functional magnetic resonance imaging machine. And this machine allows you, if you're in pain, to watch what your mind does with the pain. And it's a $2 million machine. There's only one in the world. And so, but with the point of it is, the guy that wrote the article, or the guy that's in charge of the system, he said this. He said, your mind, what did he, I wrote it down. The mind is like a virtual organ. It doesn't have a physical address. Your brain has a physical address. Your brain is the glob of stuff. But your mind is a virtual organ. It doesn't have a physical dress. And your mind is just like every other mind, because it's the same, made of the same, I mean, it comes from the same earth. It's of the earth, earthy.
But many people think that the human mind is located in Gary Butner.
Sorry.
That was
terrible.
Sorry. So anyway, let's... Yeah. I didn't even start yet. That's Joyce Anna's fault. In verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And because we've received that spirit of God, we have no idea nor any interest in what's going to happen next. We have no interest in improving the world system. We have no interest in, it's not our business, because we are not of this world. If they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. It's simple. Now, the question is, which kingdom do you want to be a part of? That's all this is about. The only way, the only entrance to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, is total acceptance of your death. Not you getting better, not, well, you can learn how to do this, not you can learn how to do that, but the acceptance of seeing you as a dead body and abandoning it. Seeing this brain as not your friend, but the instead of, or not this mind as the instead of Christ mind. And there's just one of them. What? This is the simplest I know how to say this stuff. Watch. Which things, wait, no, no, in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now you see these guys say, well, the reason that people are making fun of us for being the prosperity gospel is because they're carnal and blah, blah. No, it's not. It's because you're stupid. You're selling air. We got a preacher. I got a call from one of the networks. There's a preacher that's marketing a gas additive. And God gave it to him. And now he is marketing this gas additive for $39.95 or something. And it's God-given.
What? What does it do?
Well, it increases mileage because it's divinely. Well, is that any different than what you want?
God, can we get video?
That's what STP was for.
Yeah.
But isn't that what you're buying? Isn't that what your mind is constantly selling you?
He's trying to get a little more mileage.
An additive to let's sell for more mileage.
Well, it's true. And you keep falling for it. That's what's so sad. Well, if I just change this. If I just hold my head this way, if I just don't move, then Ollie won't see me. I mean, that's a stupid one, but you know what I mean. It's, you've got to. They come at you every day.
Where will I be in a year?
But you don't you understand? That's all your mind can do. And it's doing everything in its power to keep you from what? Keep you from the cross. Keep you from the essence that whatever is a gain to you under any guise is a loss to Christ. Watch. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That doesn't mean this crap up here in your skull got sanctified because you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, and therefore your thoughts are His thoughts. That's heresy. The mind of Christ is one of constant 100% never ending repentance, which is never ending emptiness. Let's go to Isaiah 40 real quick, since I'm not even over my time yet, and I haven't started.
is that good?
Well, it's your wife just.
Exactly.
Well, you know what it means. I'm just talking to Joycean. I'm not talking to the rest of you.
Isaiah
40. Shut up. Is that mumbling? Verse 10, behold, the Lord cometh. The Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Now the word arm is Zeruah. His seed, the word, it's a seed. His strength, his, not you, you're not in here. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, or his work, the fruit of his work is assured. That's what that means. It is no question. There's no doubt. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a hollow, in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations, all the nations, are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of a balance. Behold, he taketh up the islands as a very small thing. Lebanon itself is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him, and that means, and that's word am, all people before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. Now, the quote in Corinthians that we read about, it's who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him. And the word that's translated here from the Septuagint in the First Corinthians that we just read, it's who hath taught the mind of the Lord? I forgot what it said now. That's what I'm trying to say is that's a quote, and the way that the what quoted is here. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, is a quote from this, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him. So here it's in the Old Testament, it says Spirit, Ruah. In the New Testament, it says mind, but it doesn't matter. So mind is your you-ness. And your you-ness is common. It's the same. There's just one of you. It's one you-ness. You're not unique. You're not special. You're not. It's the same. All men. You're just common, ordinary flesh. But you're created for uniqueness. And that you, in the abandonment of yourself, would let that which is of God, of the only begotten of God, come forth through your whatever has happened. And all of the things in the world that are working, everything that has ever happened, are geared toward that one end of you abandoning yourself and just be instead of trying to be. But and that can't even start until you know the stupidity of everything else. So, mind is you-ness. Brain is matter. Does that help any? So everybody understands perfectly. No more excuses. No more sweet thoughts. If you're depressed, repent. If you're in pain, repent. Whatever it is, where something gets your attention, repent. If you're mad at something, or at somebody, repent. It has nothing to do with anybody else or anything else.
It reminds me kind of a painting I was looking at yesterday of a depiction of God from the 14th century. It was this old man sitting on a cloud, and in one hand he had a square and a compass, right? And then the other hand he had a pair of scales. It was the depiction of the supreme geometer, as if he was sitting up there on this cloud, like with his square, working out some sort of cosmic geometrical problem, you know? And that's what that verse, Verse 12 in Isaiah reminds me of. I was thinking about that just yesterday.
it's got to come to the place where all you do, where every breath is bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance. So that repentance is a sustained consciousness of error. And that's what truth is. Because he is truth. You can't learn truth.
That sentence is powerful because the concept of you learning truth is denies the truth. You get gaining something.
Because you're in it.
Because you're involved, yeah. It's amazing. It's a mystery.
This is so simple. There's nothing complicated about it. The only thing you have to see is your own evilness. And even your desire to do good is evil. Because your desire to do good comes from your hardwiredness of self-realization. There's nothing. There's no... I know that ain't me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present, but the ability to do it is gone. When I want to do good, evil one is present with me. The evil one is present with me. I mean, we're not doing anything good. There's nothing good about us. Until you can see that there's nothing in the universe that anyone could accuse you of that you're not guilty of, then you can't be the chief of sinners. Take a big guy.
What?